We carry on reading Matthew 24, and we want to look at the words of warning that the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples. And so he said, see, I have told you beforehand. And that's 24, 25. What does this mean, this phrase, I have told you beforehand? Well, this is what we call foretelling. This is also to be understood as a forewarning. And so before an incident happens, before things come, the Lord forewarns and he foretells. But why was this done? Well, this was done for, this was uttered with a sense of purpose here. It is to help the disciples to be better prepared for what is to come. And it's important. The disciples now have every chance to be forearmed. And that is going to be vital. What did the Lord Jesus mean? What was he referring to? And so we want to look at this whole idea of the contents of the forewarning, right? So we have got four aspects that are there. The four aspects would be, someone will say, look, here is the Christ. Matthew 24, 25, 33, first part. Or there is the Christ. 24, 23, the second part. Or some will say, look, he is in the desert. 24, 26, the first part. Look, he is in the inner rooms. 24, 26, the second part. Now, those things are important for us to take note of. So what was the Lord's response to all of these things here? And so we want to look at this thing. And the Lord simply said, do not go out. When people say he's in a desert or in a room, don't go. Or basically, don't believe it. Now, what is it all about? Why was the Lord saying all of these things here? Well, there are some reasons for us to consider. See, this is the part where some people like to sensationalize things. So when they speak of something startling, something sensational, something different, something that sort of grabs people's attention. And there are some people who respond to things like that. So, you know, out there, when the journalists say, this is breaking news, straight away people will tend to read those breaking news kind of thing here, rather than ordinary, average, everyday news. So that's the problem. When people try to highlight certain aspects, try to bring attention to different things here, and that is where the problem is. So the Lord basically teaches, don't respond to any of these things. Don't go out when people say he's in a desert or in the rooms, or he's here, he's there. The point is, don't respond. Verse 1. 2, don't believe. So this is where the Lord Jesus tells them how to be forearmed. Now, what is this all about? Again, here we try to go deeper into why the Lord warned about all of these things here. And there are reasons why this is the case. And the Lord Jesus mentioned this in chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise, and it will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, this is something that we need to look at. What does it mean by false Christ? And the word basically is false messiahs. That's the whole problem. And these are false prophets. Now, what is this all about? What can they be? What can they do? What can they be? What kind of people are they that people will even be drawn to them? Well, this is something that we need to read very carefully. And so the word warning is that they will actually either be able to create or somehow manipulate things. It's like a magic show, able to show great things, great signs and wonders, right? It could be all rigged, it could be all staged, or it could even be real. What's the point of it all? The point of it all is to deceive people. So generally, everybody is the target to be to deceive as many people as they can, and then to look at, even if possible, even believers can be deceived. And this is a sad reality, that people could go to a good church, grow up well, nicely in a church, and then along the way, because of friends, because of influence, because of reading, because of whatever, they become radicalized. And then they drop out, and then they follow whatever is out there. And this is a danger all the time that we must be alert to, we must be aware of. Now, we have a very similar word of warning mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is important. It's good to read the entire passage, but let's just highlight what what the Apostle Paul said. This is a wonderful, faithful servant of the Lord, and this is what he wrote concerning the coming of one he called the lawless one. Sometimes he calls him the man of sin. The language of the Apostle John, this is the Antichrist. Right? So this is important for us. What is it? And we read, he is going to work according to the working of Satan. So what is the strength? What is the way in which we can understand how he works? And the answer is very, very, very obvious. It will be according to the working of Satan. Now, we read about this in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12 and chapter 13, how Satan goes to war with all the saints. And he's going to empower his servants, a monster or sea beast and a land beast. And he's going to give them powers to be able to perform all kinds of things. And they will be able to show off their power. They'll be able to show signs and they will show wonders, but they are called lying wonders. And this is something we read about. So in both in the writings of Apostle Paul and the writings of the Apostle John, we see these words of warning. And they just back up what the Lord Jesus said, right? With all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we read about how in towards the end days, there will appear one who is lawless. Lawless meaning to say he will disregard the law, human laws, government laws, judicial laws, divine laws, whatever. He would just chuck away everything. He is a law to himself. And that is a really big problem. What are his deeds? His deeds are impressive. So there would be the display of power. They will be able to perform signs and wonders, as it were. And that's a problem. And so how do we see through all of these things here? We look for righteousness. Is the person's life righteous? Is the person performing righteous deeds, or are we just looking at an external sign? So if the life is not one of righteousness, we don't have to be afraid in any way, at any time. Right? So this is very important. But since people have made up their mind, they want to follow these signs and lying wonders, and they're going to just allow themselves to be deceived, the Lord is going to let them go ahead and be deceived. In other words, this idea of strong delusion will be there, and people will be deluded, they will be deceived, and they will end up being unrepentant, they will end up rejecting the truth that's found in the scriptures, and they're going to end up complete losers. And that is a really big problem, right? So how do we guard ourselves against all of these things here? I think that's important, right? So we have to ask ourselves, what is our regard for the word of truth? Well, the Lord Jesus had to talk to his disciples. He says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the question is whether they will receive him as the way, the truth, and the life. The word of truth that the Lord Jesus taught was so different from that which existed in his time. The things that they had learned in his time had been there for hundreds of years, but they have not been able to make any progress with reference to truth. And that was a really big problem. So what happens when people reject the truth? Well, the opposite will happen. They will end up believing the lie. And they will end up being fervently believing the lie. And they will pursue the lie no matter what. At the end of it all, they will be condemned. Why? Because they have not chosen righteousness. Instead, they have chosen an unrighteous way of life as their lifestyle, and they don't care about any of these things here. And that is a really big problem. Right? So as we take a look at it, how then can we understand the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? And Paul tells us very clearly, and so we read also in Matthew's Gospel 24, right? So we have to combine all of these writings, Revelation, 2 Thessalonians 2, Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, put them all together. Then we will have a better picture of the truth that of concerning the second coming. And over here, we have a very clear example of what a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is like. So we read, as the lightning comes from the east, and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, he's not going to be in the desert, one location. He's not going to be in the rooms, another location. He's here, he's there. That is not how we want to look at a second coming. When the Lord Jesus returns, it's going to be very important. He will come in the clouds. He will come with great glory. And it's compared to lightning. From the east to the west, you will see lightning, like lightning, and you will see a flash of light, and then that's where the Lord appears with all his glory. That's unmistakable. This is a far cry from saying he's in the desert, he's in the inner rooms, he is here, he is there. Right? So the Lord dispels all these wrong ideas, wrong teachings, wrong suppositions completely. So that's important. Well, the word coming over here in Matthew 24 is a word that we want to learn. It's called parousia. And the word is used here only in Matthew, in the Gospels. It is used more frequently in the epistles. But the word parousia is a description of the word coming. And this word parousia is a word that describes a great dignitary, a person of great significance. Right? So you ask yourself, what is a person of great significance? Why would he be in the desert? Why would he be in the rooms? Why would you need someone to say, oh, he's here, he's there? A great dignitary who will come, it will be very, very clear that he is that great dignitary. And the Lord Jesus is that great dignitary, and he will come in the clouds, and like the lightning that we can see, it will become very, very obvious. Right? But then, of course, the Lord Jesus also used a very obscure figure of speech. And then obscure figure of speech is, wherever the carcass is, there the eaters, or the eagles, will be gathered together. The word eaters can also refer to vultures. Right? It's basically, when you take a look at it, when you see something dying or something dead, the vultures will fly around in circles, waiting for death to come, and then they will descend. It becomes very obvious when you are in the desert area and you see birds up there circling around, And you obviously conclude there must be a cop somewhere. Well, that is something that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them. The coming of the Lord will become very clear, very obvious as the lightning in the sky. Everyone will be able to see it, and that is going to be the important part of it. And as we look at it, our challenge is to be sure that we know the truth, we love the truth, and we hide the truth in our hearts, and we will be ready for the Lord's coming. May we be ready indeed. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to know your word better. Teach us how to love the truth and to read the scriptures carefully and to be able to proclaim that word that we believe in. We pray for wisdom to fathom your word. Strengthen us as we seek and we wait the coming of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be patient, be persevering all the way until he returns for us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus.